We've come to the last part of our program for tonight. We're going to start by singing hymn number 266, 266 from the Dawn. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armour on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. That's hymn 266 in the Dawn. Brother Ken, if he would come forward and give us some thoughts for the evening. Thank you, Brother Ken. And for those that are confused, he is actually from Canada. We've had a few that tell me he's from the US, but this is a falsehood. He's actually part of the colonies like we are. So we have a much closer relationship that way. So Brother Ken, come forward. Thank you.
Yeah, we do pay for your queen. Thank you, brother, for your prayer. Thank you, Brother Ray.
Sister Carmelita and I are very, very happy to be here at another Australian convention. It's a joy to be here. We want to bring you the Christian loving greetings from the brethren we have met with around the world. We have greetings from Canada, from Winnipeg, from Brother Sid Jones and Joan Jones, from the province of Saskatchewan, from a brethren there, the province of Alberta, the province of British Columbia. One of the sisters who visited us there at New Year's was Sister Lynn Schultz. She wants to send her special love to you here. She is the sister that her mother is the one who wrote the Ten Candles, and also the book, the children's book called The Son of the Highest. And that was her mother who wrote that. We have greetings from the New York class, from certain individual brethren as well, from the Patius family, from the Gorekis. We have greetings from Florida, from the brethren there. We have greetings from California. Especially from Nancy Brown. Burton Brown was the one that was here a few years back, and she wants to be remembered to you, and she sends her warmest Christian greetings. Also our families, our two sons, our two daughters, they send their loving greetings to you here. And our one of our daughters will be going to the Dawn to help out there while we're away, and so we're happy for it. We have the brother that's supposed to have been here, and I took his place. It was Brother Alan Allers and Donna Allers were going to be here, and they regret that they're unable to come. So they send their special love to you here. We have greetings also, we get it all the time, and that's from Brother Agrippina from the Philippines. He sent his greetings, and he sent us the picture of the funeral that they had of one of the brethren that died there. And I have maybe forgotten some. We have greetings from Ukraine as well, from the brethren there. We have greetings from India. Greetings from France, from Germany. We have a brother who does translation for us in the Portuguese language as well as the Spanish, and he sends his greetings to you here, and he's made a trip for us to South America. And the brethren there, we supply them with a lot of literature in Spanish and Portuguese. And so there's never a dull moment at the Dawn where we'd like to train somebody to do some extra printing, because we have a lot of printing to be done. The subject I have chosen, I hope in some way, will give us some encouragement. And I'm sure that if I was to ask each one of you a question, have you suffered as a Christian? How has the truth changed your life? I'm sure you can give us a wonderful testimony, each and every one of you. So we're going to talk on that subject, Christian suffering. We know that many of you have had a lot of experience in Christian suffering. We have those brethren who have gone through the Second World War. They can tell you a lot of stories of their suffering. And so we've chosen the scripture, 1 Peter 4, and verses 16 and 19. I'd like to read it to you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. The word Christian means belonging to Christ, followers of our Master. All Christian sufferings and trials of the present seem not to be very joyous, but grief. But yet we remember Paul's words. It says, yet afterwards it yields or returns the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We enjoy the message that we have heard here the past 2 days. We talked about some of the messages written by Paul to Timothy. And Paul was warning Timothy in the last days. In the English language, it's perilous times. But when you look up that word perilous times, it means times of stress. Are you going through that? Times of stress? The world is. But we too, in some way. You remember Paul wrote a letter to the Romans. He says, the whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Does the world know it's waiting for that? No. But Paul knew from God's plan that eventually the world will receive that blessing. But then Paul says, not only that the world groans and travails in pain, but we too, within ourselves, we groan for our deliverance, for our change. And that is so true. I don't know if you've gone through the difficulties that some of the brethren in the United States have gone through because of the, we would call it, recession, or because of the financial fall of the dollar, of the economy. Michigan was hit hard, the state of Michigan, because it's a car manufacturing state. Many, many people lost their homes. Homes that were worth $1 million you can buy them for about $19,000. That's what happened. It's difficult. Yes, there are various levels of Christian suffering. As I mentioned, the mental stress. Physical sufferings. We have anxieties we go through in our lifetime. I often think of some of you brethren here that have physical problems. You know, we live in wonderful times and yet difficult times. Some of your own people here in Australia have suffered some of the losses of their homes in the flood. And it happened so many times, it's not only once. And now they're predicting in the United States, I watched a program on earthquakes. They're predicting there's going to be a big earthquake that'll take place in Los Angeles all the way down to Vancouver, British Columbia. Because that's the earthquake fault that everything sits on. And they pointed out what a disaster it can bring to the people. And everybody lives in fear. And so we look at life itself. Life itself is a battle, brethren. We see among the brute creation, in fact. We see these pictures they show us of the lion catching a wildebeest and tearing it and eating it while it's still alive. I hate to look at that, and I hate to see children look at it as well. It's such a struggle for existence. The Lord's people, you and I, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are recruited from those who are fighting under miserable conditions which are so prevalent in the world. But you know, brethren, now we have a different warfare in here altogether. And it's our Christian suffering. It is a conflict. A conflict against all righteousness. It is a sacrifice. You and I are ambassadors for Christ, yes. And so we are Christian soldiers. Did you realize that you are being trained every day as a soldier is training each day to run and practice and practice and run for many months? And then at the end, a general says to him, you're now capable of operating our specialized equipment. And that's how it is with us. We train. We train each day to be fit for the rain, for the next stage. Another example of Christian suffering, we think about our Lord Jesus after his baptism. He was tested in the wilderness. He relied on the Spirit and the strength of his Heavenly Father. You and I also do the same, brethren. We rely on the strength and the Holy Spirit to guide us each day of our lives. Our Lord Jesus told his apostles that they too would suffer for many for my name's sake. And it happened. Each one of them suffered. And they did not die a natural death. Only Apostle John is the one that died a natural death. The others suffered. Yes, there's various levels of Christian suffering. There is a spiritual Christian suffering. There is a physical Christian suffering, brethren. We fight whatever physical sickness we may have, as well as mental anguish that we may have. Another example of Christian suffering is that of myself. I have gone through what is called war against unloving methods against all sin. How many of you have ever heard of the Family Feud? Did you ever live through that? I did. Family Feud. I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody. After my father died is when the Family Feud began. But it happens, I'm sure that some of you probably have had that experience. The rest of the family was not in the truth. And the fight was over my father's land, over the estate. Brethren, it's a trial, it's a test that each individual goes through in each of their lifetime. There is the mental stress, which makes it so difficult to even work each day, is what it is. It's hard on your nerves, and you have the health problems that others go through in their lifetime. And there's also the sufferings that take place between spouses. We have a lot of that. Can you imagine a consecrated wife coming home, and the husband greets her at the door and tells her she is no longer welcome at the home because he has someone else at the house? How do you think that feels? It would be like having a sword go through your heart. Or vice versa, the husband coming home to find his wife tell him he's no longer welcome in his own house. That has happened. There are many examples of Christian sufferings that we go through in our lifetime. And it is not easy. Here's another one. An ex-JW came to the Dawn plant as we were working there. And he wanted a set of volumes. We gave it to him. He was a truck driver. After he came to the knowledge of the truth, his wife, who is a JW, contacted the JW lawyers. And they had his home, his finances, and his children taken away from him. And it was all for the sake of the truth. His home now is his truck cab. That's his home. Christian suffering. We often think about Brother Russell. When he began his ministry, of all the different trials that he had from the nominal churches, he had many Christian sufferings. Yes. But the Lord was on his side. And the Lord had guided and directed him through the Christian sufferings that he faced. Brethren, you and I do have difficulties in fighting against unrighteousness. But God will help us, brethren, each day of our lives, as long as we stay within the boundaries where God can reach us. Don't go outside that boundary. And remember, we suffer for righteousness' sake, and our suffering is for a cause that's a little different than what the world suffers. Ours is for a cause. The world has no cause. We think about Stephen, our brother, who suffered faithfully to the end. And the reason he suffered, he preached Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And our suffering is for a cause, brethren, which is different from the world's suffering, who has no cause. Our Christian suffering will lead us to life immortal, as has been brought here over this platform, if we are faithful unto our covenant of sacrifice that we had made with the Lord. Yes, in our temptations we do have Christian suffering, and the Lord knows about them, and the Lord has promised that when they become too severe, he will provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. he might well be saying to us, I want you to know that when the enemy comes, that I have permitted it in order that you might realize more fully your own weaknesses and learn to depend upon my grace to help in every time of need. Hebrews 4:16. I want you to learn that your safety as a new creature in Christ depends upon you looking to me for strength. For a while, I want you to do the best you can to fight off all the enemies which assail you as a new creature. But I want you to realize also that the battle is not won by those who think they are strong apart from me, but by those who look to me to do their fighting for them. I often think about Brother Woodward. Many of you don't know him. He's a Canadian. He was born in Canada in Berwick, Nova Scotia. His father was in the truth. And in 1907, he symbolized his consecration. And he went to work for Brother Russell. His father and mother wanted him to go work for Brother Russell, and he did. He was involved with the photodrama of creation. He did a lot of that for Brother Russell. But the point that I want to mention is this. As years went by, as Brother Russell died in 1916, Brother Woodward stayed on. And then he began to take orders from Joseph Rutherford. And Brother Woodward was involved in a radio program as well. It was like the Frank and Ernest. And so he was given a script to read and had to go on the radio. And Brother Woodward says to Joseph Rutherford, this is not the truth. We can't put this over the radio. He says, you put it on. If you don't put it on, you're fired. This was back in 1925. And Brother Woodward says to Joseph Rutherford, you don't have to fire me. I quit. And he walked out. And already at that time, there was a class formed in Brooklyn. And they convinced Brother Woodward to start the radio program, Frank and Ernest. At that time, it was called Radio Echoes. And he did. There was so much response that came in. And finally, they rented a shop in Brooklyn to print literature for the brethren that were writing in. In 1929, they had a reunion convention where Brother Russell used to work. 1929, 1930, and 1931. It was called a reunion convention. And many brethren started to come back and to be able to preach the gospel and the message worldwide. And that's how the dawn started back in 1925. In 1932, it got moved to Rutherford, New Jersey, East Rutherford. And so it's been there ever since. And the purpose of the dawn was at that time, and still is, to print printed literature for brethren around the world that want to proclaim the gospel message worldwide. That was all, it was about. The purpose of the dawn was not to tell classes what they should believe or what they should teach. No. Each class was its own governing body. All the dawn did was supply them with literature. But you know, Brother Woodward had hard times. It wasn't easy for him. And we're grateful to brethren like Joseph Brown. He is Burton Brown's father. He's passed away many years ago. People like Russell Pollock, Ed Fay, that made the dawn possible. The Brooklyn class was another one that made things possible. And they put the radio program, Radio Echoes, on national network across all of the United States. And the message went out. The message that Brother Russell used to put in the back of every article of the Dawn, of the Watchtower on the inside cover, to us the scriptures clearly teach what is our mission as a church. And that same thing appeared on the Dawn magazine at the very back. To us the scriptures clearly teach. May the others use the same. And so we're happy for Brother Woodward and the brethren at that time who made that possible. Another Canadian brother who spent a lot of time with Brother Wood with Brother Russell and with Brother Woodward was Sam Baker. He is from Toronto, Canada. He later on he was made as a pilgrim. He traveled to the United States and Canada. Another one that came out of the society, you may have heard of him, was Brother Zano. He was a pilgrim for the Dawn. He formed a lot of classes in the United States and got the brethren back together again. Think about the Christian suffering this brother went through, the turmoil they went through after Brother Russell died. It wasn't easy. No. You know, brethren, that's why I say that each one of you can tell us a lot of Christian suffering in your life. We traveled a lot to Europe. We met up with a brother there who was taken as a prisoner to Germany, to Berlin. A lot of suffering. He'd tell us stories. What happened towards the last few days before Berlin fell. He stayed home that day because the sky was just black with planes. American planes, British, Canadian, Russian. And he was hid in a basement in a house. As he sat there, he prayed. He said the ground shook constantly. The bombs falling on Berlin. And he stayed home that day from the factory. When he came out, there was no factory. He could have been dead. Another brother told us the same thing who immigrated to Canada. He left home to take somebody's place in a job and came back. There was no home. It was completely destroyed. All of a sudden, this brother that was in the basement walked out of the... All of a sudden, everything was quiet. He stepped outside. There wasn't a sound. He says, is this the kingdom now? Time of trouble is over. Everything is so still, quiet. You can see and imagine what some of our brethren went through during those years. And we know that Europe had its best in blood. You and I have faith that God's hand is in all our affairs and our Christian suffering, brethren. I'm sure it is. I often think of Adam Kopchick's wife, what she goes through. Ray himself, Charlton. To have faith that God's hand is in our affairs and our Christian suffering is very, very essential. To keep in mind that He is training us, brethren, for a great work in the future. One of the necessary lessons to learn in order to be qualified for this exalted office is that of humility. It may be that the Lord will use every commonplace experience to teach us humility. to those of us who need such experiences, the Lord may be saying, are your surroundings in life too humiliating to bear? The Lord might be saying, has your lot been cast with people, for people who do not appreciate you or understand you? People who never consider your preferences nor your taste, and now who are always putting you in the background and themselves in front. Do you not blame your associations? The Lord says, I'm with you in all your humility. I'm helping you to bear them and from them to learn a needful lesson. I'm training you to be a ruler. I'm training you to exercise tremendous responsibility. But I want you to do it for my glory, not for your own. So remember, dear child of mine, the Lord says, you're not in your present environment by accident. No. For I knew that only under such circumstances can you be properly trained for the kingdom glory. Okay? Again, someone of us, the Lord may be saying, do you have any difficulties? Are you finding it more and more difficult to make ends meet? For I want you to put your trust more fully in me and to realize that I know exactly what is best for you. I realize that it could be embarrassing at times, yes, but I want to teach you to trust in me and in my ability to provide all your needs and the joyful circumstances in your lot, in your life, which I am permitting. Yes, are we passing through a nighttime of sorrow due to the loss of some beloved one or to circumstances which no one could seem to understand? Yes, the Lord will always be with us, brethren. You may have a lot of physical problems. We all do. That's true. But the Lord says what? I have permitted earthly comforters to fail you in order that you might learn to look to me for consolation. Perhaps you have not realized what I have realized, the Lord says, that as long as you have all your dear ones with you and your trusted friends will always be able to console you in your trials, you don't think of me very often. But at one time you made a covenant with me. I've accepted you into my family. You've been very dear to me. I wanted to do more and bless more richly, but you are getting along well without me. Your life is so filled with your friends. You are so satisfied with your successes that I was largely shut off from your thoughts and your ways that you didn't realize you needed me at all. I do not rejoice in your trials. But I know, the Lord says, and you will learn that in turning to me, you'll find comfort and solace beyond anything your earthly friends can possibly furnish. I want you to know that I am your everlasting portion. I want you to draw nigh unto me in order that I may draw nigh unto you. James 4:8. Yes. Many of us have gone through Christian suffering. I'm sure a lot of you can give us testimonies on that. I told you what Brother Woodward went through. We think of his experiences, and we're grateful the Lord has guided Brother Woodward. If it wasn't for Brother Russell and Brother Woodward, where would we be today? Think about it. Brother Russell, who gave us the understanding of the wonderful plan of the ages. We didn't learn it by chance. God's Holy Spirit had to guide us to be able to understand that. You and I are able to fulfill our commitments as we continue to struggle each day of our lives. Yes, the Lord permits all these experiences.
we might well be saying, leave those who misrepresent you to me. I will deal with them. You know, working at the Dawn, we get all kinds of emails, all kinds of telephones. One of the girls who answers the telephone says, there's a lady here who wants to talk to you. All right. She puts this lady on the phone. She says, are you in charge of the Dawn? Well, I have to be careful. I says, no. I says, there's 12 trustees that are in charge of the Dawn. Well, I want to talk to the one that's in charge. Well, I says, our Lord Jesus is in charge. Well, that didn't go well. No. I want to talk to the hierarchy. Well, you know, in the Catholic Church, you have a hierarchy. Well, back in the Dawn, we don't have such things. And she wanted, well, she went on and on and on, and I kept telling things. And then she says, well, you know what? She says, I'm going to go see my lawyer, and I'm going to sue you because you don't believe in hellfire. Isn't it something, the kind of people you hear from? So you kind of chuckle, you know, poor lady. Carmelita had to call from one lady too, and Carmelita explained to her about, you know, there is no such thing as hellfire. She couldn't understand that. She says, well, don't you think that some of these that are so bad, don't you think they should sizzle a little bit? Anyway. And yet there's others that call. They give us such encouragement of the message that they have heard. They never heard such a message before in their lives. And they're so grateful. That's one lady called up. She says, please send me the book of Life After Death. I want a new one. Oh. Her mother died. And she says, I've seen this book in my mom's house, and I couldn't find it. I went through the whole house. I finally found it. Life After Death, she says, was an old book. It was worth 5 cents at that time. The old address. And she wrote for more literature. She was so happy and joyous. We had a call from a funeral home undertaker. And we have a program in the United States, which some of you probably know about it. Maybe John Mercer told you. But we send out these funeral kits advertising a hope booklet. And we print the funeral home address at the back. You know about that. At the back of the hope booklet. And they give it out to the people who come in during the funeral. And one of them said, this is such comfort to me, she says, because I lost my loved one. She says, these books just come on time. So you can see how people are appreciative of the message that goes forth. Sometimes we think that, you know, it's all for nothing, but it's not. One here, one there, and it gets passed from one to the other. We do have a lot of XJWs that call. And it's the sad part is that some of them come out, yes, they become and they study. But others, we've received word from the inside of the society that the last 2 years, 90,000 XJWs have left the society. 30,000 were disfellowshipped and 60,000 left. I asked this lady, well, what's happening with these XJWs? Where are they going? We don't see them. She says, many of them go back to the nominal churches. That's sad. I watched a program on television, a Catholic program, and the XJW must have been paid big money on that program because he criticized the JWs to the highest degree. And how he's on that program, he said that you XJWs, whoever is come out, he says, and join the mother church. That's sad. You think that they would have some spirit of the truth, but they don't have it. That's sad. Some of them
make their own little groups. They have their own groups. Some of them meet with Bible students. We had a XJW back in South America, in Brazil, who partook of the memorial at Passover time. The other XJWs notified Brooklyn. They made a special trip from Brooklyn to Brazil, and they scolded this guy up and down, and they disfellowshipped him from the organization. And as he left, he took about 40 other members with him. So they said to one of our brethren that was there helping them out, says, what are we going to do now? We used to stand on the street corner giving out the watchtower. What are we going to do now? And that brother says, why don't you give the Dawn magazine out in Portuguese language? And that's what they're doing. And a lot of people are coming in and studying the tabernacle. The tabernacle is in the Portuguese language as well as Spanish. So you see, brethren, the work goes on. Brethren throughout the world are doing something. And we're happy. As we're able to fulfill our commitments, brethren, as we continue to struggle each day of our lives, the Lord permits all these experiences. I'm sure you understand that. He might well be saying, well, leave those who are misrepresented to me. I will deal with them. That's true. And so we find that our Lord says, when my son was contradicted, yes, even when he was reviled, while hanging the cross, he revealed not again, reviled not again, committing himself rather to my care and keeping to this what I want you to do. Yes, brethren, we have Christian suffering, that is true. Even though we have covenanted to do the Heavenly Father's will, we sometimes go along from day to day making our own plans, neglecting to take into consideration whether or not our plans are in harmony with His will. Of course, we want Him to bless the plans we make. Isn't that true? Yes, sure. Have your plans been all upset? It was well that you asked me to bless your plans, but in your consecration to me, you experienced your determination to do my will, to follow the plans that I would make for you. Each day, brethren, we want to do those things that please the Heavenly Father. You know, Brother Russell always used to tell us in his writings, watch and pray. Wait upon the Lord. Don't run ahead of the Lord. Follow the Lord. That's a lesson for us. And you know, we want to hear the voice of the Lord at all times. I want you to do and know the reason and try to do it the better way, that is to consult me with respect to every detail of life. You remember when our Lord appeared at the tomb of Lazarus? What did He do? He prayed. He says, Lord, You hearest me always. He gave glory to God. Thou hearest me always. And so the Lord was given that power from Jehovah God to raise Lazarus from the dead. Coffee break, is it? Okay. Didn't he say we're going to have pizza later on or something? You know, brethren, under the burden of care, we're able to wonder why we do not have the joy and peace in the Lord that once enriched our lives. In our distress, we turn to the Lord, and through the word we hear Him say, I've been telling you right along that you should cast all your care upon me. I have abundantly able to make the responsibility for the successful outcome of every service I ask you to go rather to me. Not only so, I want you to ascertain my will with respect to all the affairs of your consecrated life, but doing this to let me also be responsible for the outcome. 1 Peter 5:7. Apostle Paul also said at one time, this is in Hebrews, he said, our Christian sufferings and trials of the present seem not to be of joy. Do you feel that? Quite grievous. Oh, it's such a drag. And what did Paul say? But yet afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Yes, Christian suffering may be for a moment, but it does bring results, brethren. Results that are granted everlasting life. Results that we are granted immortality. Think about it. It's only for a moment, is all it is. Yes. Every truly consecrated child of God is at work to serve Him and His people in any way, in every way possible. For many, their opportunity of service often seem to be quite limited. That's true. But we long to do more for the Lord than we are doing or have the opportunity to do. It may be through the lack of physical strength. Yes, that's true. But it may be due to obligations toward those for whom the Lord expects us to care for. It may be a financial inability, that's true, or other handicaps. Do we have another way? Why does that, although our hearts long to do much in the Lord's service? We all want to. I know of your desire to do something great, yet the Lord permits you to be laid aside on a bit of weakness and pain. And so there's a lesson in this, which is most essential for you to learn. And that is, deep down in our hearts, or your heart, are you anxious to be busy in my service? Is your motive entirely that of love for me and for the brethren, and for all who may be blessed at your hands through my ministry of the truth? Is there the slightest trace of a motive in your heart that it is not selfish or impure? Prosperity in my service would be very injurious to you, and I love you too much to permit you to be injured. And then in order for me to bless you, the Lord says to my servant, it is essential that you lean upon me. Lean upon me for strength. And look to me for guidance in this experience of waiting, which you are now having, and it will help you to realize your own weakness and your great need to me. Yes, my strength will be made perfect in your weaknesses, but only if you realize your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Yes, brethren, I'm sure you can tell us many of your experiences of Christian suffering. We can tell you many of the experiences, but our time is limited. You know, when you and I come to a point when we tremble, when you think of self, and you realize how very little it can do to me in your own strength, and He says, then I'll be able to use you for doing great things for me. I remember one time Brother Penrose gave a discourse of general convention. It's the little things in life that you do that counts, not the big things. The little things. Sometimes we want to see big things. No, it's the little things. Yes. We have to realize that we'll be able to, that the Lord says, I'll be able to use you for doing great things for me. If not this side of the veil, then surely when I exalt you to glory of my beloved Son, to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. If in my providence it takes all your time and strength and means to meet your responsibilities towards those depending upon you, yes. If you discharge your responsibility as unto me, I will accept your service as though it was done directly in my vineyard. Watch and pray, brethren. You settle into a life of worldly indifference simply because at present you are deprived of the privilege of working directly for me. In your case, brethren, in my case, it's a matter of wishing that you had large sums of money that you can devote in my service. No. Well, I appreciate that, the Lord says. That's true. I remember many experiences when I worked with Brother Wooder back in the 70s. It came to the point that our offset press had to be changed. This is coming to an end. And so we put an order in for a good used press. It's going to cost around $40,000 or $50,000. Well, we had a meeting. Brother Wood said, well, where are we going to get the money from? We waited for about a week. Brother Woodward opens an envelope to his surprise and to mine. There was a check in there. Not just to buy a used press, to buy a brand new one. Plus the collator and the whole thing that went with it. Nobody knew who this individual was. None of the brethren ever heard of him. He was a Canadian. But you know, it was a lesson to all of us and to Brother Woodward. Don't be in a rush. Wait upon the Lord. And the Lord will intervene. Brethren, my prayer on your behalf is that may God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your consecrated life. Through many of your Christian sufferings, may you be victorious. Yes. It seems for a while, if it's so grievous, it's so hard, isn't it? Remember, Paul said, after it yielded the wonderful, peaceful fruit of righteousness. Brethren, it's been a privilege and a joy to be here with you. You're just like our family. We enjoy you very much. Once again, may God bless you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ken. When we do look around, we are very privileged where we are. Again this year, Adam and I are going to the Philippines. And it's just interesting to hear what life is like there and how privileged we are here. Brother has asked us to finish with Dawn Hymn 377. 337, my apologies. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Dawn 337.
Thank you.
Brother Ted to come forward and close the session with a word of prayer. Thank you.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we come to your gracious throne in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we love to glorify your holy name and thank you for the privilege that we could come here together as a one, your family. We thank you for the discourses, for the brethren which prepared themselves to give us spiritual food. We thank you for to organize that convention, for all those brethren who took part in it. We thank you for the privilege that we could meet each other again, and we're doing this at least once a year. We thank you for all these wonderful things, for this beautiful day, even for the weather, that we could go to the river for that wonderful privilege to baptize, to be the witness of baptism of one of our sisters who dedicated her life to you. And not only she, but all of us want to pass that wonderful narrow way to follow footsteps of our Master and to be winner, to get that crown of victory, crown of life. And we believe, dear Father, that not only to die, but every day of our life, you will continuously helping us in our way to the victory. And we thank you for, in the Jesus' name, Amen.